friends, you're probably aware of the famous Mark Twain quote. He says, in polite company, there are two topics that you always avoid. What are those? Religion and politics. Well, that's kind of what the readings are about today, and so I'm not sure we can avoid it. The religious part, I hope we do here each week, so that shouldn't be that uncomfortable, but maybe the politics part. So I wanted to, I think our readings present some really interesting points on those two unspeakable topics. And so the first point is this interesting thing that the first reading presents, in which we have, Isaiah writes about a pagan king, Cyrus the Persian. So he's not an Israelite. Isaiah says he doesn't know the God of Israel, right? But yet he serves as this vehicle of God's purposes, right, in liberating the people of Israel. Right? And so we have somebody outside of the bounds of God's special chosen people, right, the Israelites, outside of that community, who serves as an instrument of God. Right? And so that's an incredible thing. It's a warning, I think, against a kind of a religious tribalism, right? That thinks we have a monopoly, right, on the Holy Spirit just because you're part of God's chosen people. Right? And we don't deny that. The Bible makes clear that Israel is God's select chosen people from among the nations, not for themselves, but so that they might be a vehicle of light for the nations, so that everyone ultimately can encounter the God of Israel. And that's the same thing with the church, the new Israel, right? The Second Vatican Council said that in the Catholic Church, we have the fullness of truth and grace. But at the same time, the same document says, there are elements of truth and sanctification in other religious traditions. See, it's the same kind of dynamic that's at play in that reading, which is, yes, Israel's privileged a vehicle of God's truth in the world, but God works through this pagan outside of the bounds of the Israelite people, right, Cyrus, to bring about God's purposes. So I think sometimes in the church, we err on the side of combating a kind of religious relativism, which says that all paths are equal paths to God and these sorts of things, right? Against that, Vatican II says, no, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of grace and truth is in the Catholic Church. Today's readings are warning us, I think, about the other extreme, this kind of religious tribalism that says we have a monopoly, or Israel had a monopoly, or the church has a monopoly on God's activity in the world. And as we see through Cyrus, God can work through people outside the visible bounds of the church to bring about his activity. Then we get to the political realm. Jesus says today in the gospel, I would argue one of his very few explicitly political statements in the Gospels. Right? Jesus' silence on political issues is a really interesting feature of the Gospels. Right? He doesn't talk a ton about, he's not as consumed with politics, it seems, as we are today. Right? But today he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And what I don't think we should do from that one line is extrapolate a whole philosophy on the relationship between church and state. Right? I think what Jesus is advocating for is that we owe different domains of human life, we owe justice, the virtue of justice, to different domains of human life. Right? So we owe injustice a response to the political realm, right? And so we pay taxes, right? So that hopefully the government can take care of things like the roads. Though I have to tell you, I had a wedding in Cleveland last night, and so Daniel and I were both driving I-80 this morning early so I could get back to be with you, and I hit a huge pothole, and my tire blew out. Daniel, you could have picked me up. So we got things organized, but it was getting close. I was almost not going to make it. Then I didn't know what we were going to do. We're going to have Justin figure something out on the fly. But we made it. So they're not, with our taxes, not doing those potholes in Cleveland very well. But we owe injustice, the domain of the political, our response. But then Jesus says, render unto God what is God's. This to me is tongue-in-cheek. What do we render unto God in justice? Everything. We owe him everything. Our very existence. So render in the political realm what is injustice due to the political realm. Right? It's a legitimate domain of human activity. But render to God what is God's. I want to mention the November elections coming up. It's interesting that this reading falls in the three-year cycle in year A, always like, because of how Easter falls, it always ends about 2 to 3 weeks before the elections in November. And I want to focus on two things. One, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. That means, I think, we have to vote. One of the things justice demands in the political system, in the domain of the political, is that we participate. The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about voting as a moral imperative, not just a recommendation, but a moral imperative, that we owe it in justice to the political process, to Caesar, right, to the domain of human society. We owe it in justice to participate. And so I want to encourage everybody. I want to encourage especially younger people who, I remember when I was young, I would just skip elections and things. I slept in that day and then I couldn't fit it in with my classes or something. Right? We ought to vote as a moral imperative in every election, right? Including in off-year, so-called off-year elections. I think that's what is owed, render unto Caesar. Render unto God what is God's. I do want to mention issue one. Now, if you know me, you know that I, in 6.5 years here, have never brought up politics. Okay? I have a strict rule with my staff that our staff is never to post anything on our social media. Okay? That could insinuate a vote for a candidate or a party. Okay? Because I don't think the gospel should be compromised by people associating us with political parties and candidates. Right? Jesus preaches to liberals and conservatives alike. Right? Jesus' message is relevant to Republicans and Democrats alike. But I do think issue one is different. And so the church has been very outspoken in the state of Ohio. I realize here we have a lot of people from Michigan, so you can just check out in about 2 minutes, right? Other people might want to check out too, but that the church has been very outspoken on this because there is a lot more flexibility for the church to speak when it doesn't involve endorsing a candidate or a party. We can't do that. We ought not to ever do that. But this is a standalone issue. And I would simply ask you to discern it properly, to read the amendment. It'll take you if you haven't, it'll take you 3 minutes. It's the shortest amendment I've ever read. I can't believe they produce such a short document in politics or in lobbying, right? It's a short amendment. I have included Bishop Thomas's op-ed from the Toledo Blade on the last 2 pages of the bulletin this week. In my judgment, and in the church's judgment in the state of Ohio, this amendment is a betrayal of the glorification of human dignity, and what I would say is render unto God what is God's. Because the most fundamental thing we give back to God is life. It's a total gift. And it should not be at the expense of the whims of human will. And so we give back to God that which is God's. I realize, friends, this is a controversial issue. I realize people have all sorts of views on this, the wording of the amendment, and all sorts of other things. I would just ask that you take the church's view on this into account, that the Catholic worldview, right, the way we see the world, means partially the second part of Jesus' statement: render back to God that which is God's. And that includes the whole of human life from the moment of conception. So I invite you to discern that and to pray with that and to look at the resources that we've been putting in the bulletin, and we'll continue to do so. But please vote in justice, right, to the domain of political life. So friends, whatever Mark Twain says, and I like a lot of Mark Twain, I never have been that comfortable with don't talk about religion and politics, because I love those topics. And that's what I end up talking about all the time. But let's appreciate the nuance and the interesting insights, I think, of our readings on both of those topics today. And let's strive in our life to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's.